Well, lots of interviews sounds really good.
Yeah, that sounds like what you want, even though interviews are the worst.
They are. It's the company that I interviewed for in November, where they were like, you are so perfect for this job, and then they didn't get it. Mm-hmm. So there was another job, a similar payroll type of job, that I interviewed for this morning. And while I was talking to her, she asked me if I had any background in benefits and HR, and I do. So they have a need for that position, which they need to fill faster. So she set me up for an interview with that. So I figure they're interviewing me for three jobs. Either they're just fucking with me on all levels, or I don't think they are. Or they're trying to find something that fits.
I don't think they are. The other thing that I've heard lately is there's been a trend in hiring in from the HR departments and stuff, where people just ghost on interviews. Like they submit the resumes, they do pre-interviews, then they'll just not show up for interviews. And then they'll interview and get hired and then just not show up on day one.
Cool. Yeah. I didn't even know that was an option.
Yeah. Apparently it's a thing that is happening.
I will not do that. I think they know. Because I'm like, yes, I'm interested. Yes, I'm interested in that.
This
yes.
is also not an interview.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's a remote job, which sets me on just, I would love a remote job.
Oh.
That's most jobs right now. You just have to get hired for one, and most of them are remote.
Well, I mean, this one remains remote. They're in Florida.
Well,
Tampa.
Yeah. Ooh.
Tampa, as a matter of fact.
Oop.
Okay.
All right.
I'm done.
Hey, this is Tony.
This is Lena.
And this is David.
And we are the Backseat Producers.
Hi.
You are making a face.
Yeah, me? It's just my face.
Oh, well.
Oh. A thought flew into my head and then just disappeared immediately upon me attempting to latch onto it and take an action.
Oh, I hate that.
I gotta close this window. I gotta close that window and these 18 other windows. All right.
So what game had you delayed?
I'm currently playing Dyson Sphere Program again, and the new Blades of the Empire standalone strategy thing, and also Slice and Dice. Although now that I've beaten Slice and Dice on normal and I'm playing hard, it's much more difficult and I don't like it.
It is much more difficult. I played the demo before I paid for it, and the demo allows you to play to level 12.
Mm-hmm.
And so I beat level 12 on easy and I beat level 12 on normal, and I played hard and I beat level 11 and got to level 12 and was halfway through the fight and just got nuked. And I was like, oh, this is good.
Yeah.
But the demo only goes to 12. So I figured, this is good. I'm feeling good about myself that I got that far. And then the full game goes to 20.
Yeah.
And there's more modes. I do like the different modes give you a few more options too.
Yeah, it took me days to beat the game on normal.
Mm.
And that was frustrating.
I play my one game and I like it, other than the stuff on my phone.
Slice and Dice is fun because it's also, you can just set it down when you want to. You make choices and then it becomes a puzzle. Like the fact that you can undo when you're in combat all the way back to the beginning of that combat is really cool.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Like there have been combats where it's like I've lost three guys and then I backed out and rethought it and played it out a different way.
That's
and
cool.
Killed the bad guys in one round. Mm-hmm. Like it's just there are really cool options.
Yeah. It's interesting because it lets you go back.
Yeah.
And a lot of games do not let you go back.
Nope. It only lets you go back so far, though, which is good. Like
it lets you go back to the beginning of the turn,
right?
Which is like, you know, sometimes all you need.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's pretty satisfying. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was $7.
That's yeah. Even better.
I didn't even play the demo. I just bought it.
Yeah, Lena, you can get it on Android, and it's free on Android.
I'll have to look for that.
It's free on Android for the demo at least.
Okay.
And if you like it, $7. It's called Slice and with an ampersand dice.
Okay, I will look for it.
We are not sponsored by that, by the way.
I am. I was personally paid $1 million for this.
Well,
so
how is it that I told you about it and you got paid for it? That's
because he's not going to share.
Just constantly failing up.
Yeah. I still can't pay money for a PS5, and you had one like as almost like an early adopter
for free.
Yeah. Oh, I don't even want this. God damn it.
And it sits unused in my living room.
I can't get somebody to take money from me to get to get acquire one. Oh well.
Well, that's not true. It doesn't sit unused. I used it to play Hollow Knight, a game I replayed and repurchased and had originally played on the PC.
Yep. Yep.
Which, if you have not played Hollow Knight,
I still have not
recommend it enough.
Yeah, I still have not. I should remedy that.
It's incredibly frustrating. It's not frustrating. It's good. It's really good.
Do we have anything to talk about next time?
See that lump? It's right there in the bed.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's Bunny.
Oh.
I thought you were pointing at your back like you were a hunchback.
What is happening? We're not doing that movie.
Oh. And thank you for choosing something that I don't have to go to the movies for, because I don't have money to go to the movies.
What else is on? I feel like something just dropped on Netflix that's interesting to talk about. But now that I'm looking at Netflix, I don't think that's true.
I'm not sure.
Would you like a movie that was dreadful that was on Netflix currently?
Ooh.
Love Hard. It's a Christmas movie. And so the concept is Jimmy Yang catfishes this chick on a dating site by using like his hot buddy's profile picture and stuff. And then she surprise visits him and she finds out that he's just a big fucking nerd.
Okay, so this is a Christmas movie?
It is unfortunately a Christmas movie.
You know what? The way our schedule is, and the like, I was behind on releasing an episode, so we're actually like one episode behind on releases.
No, I wish I hadn't said anything.
It will drop on the 24th.
Why did I say anything?
I'm writing it down.
Actually, I've already seen it, so it's not like I have to suffer through it again.
What is happening here?
Jesus Christ, it's Paul the Wind.
It is Paul. Luke bringing up Andromniarch in the game has summoned Paul to the podcast. You know, I'm not even lying. Part of me, when he started talking about Andromniarch again, like there was just the smallest part of me that was like, is Paul going to jump on this Discord? Because that would have been amazing.
That would have been amazing.
All of a sudden, we just have another person in the party, and it's in Drelniarg, the taint lifter.
All right, so are we doing that terrible movie? That'll
yeah.
That'll be something for me to complain about.
Sure, Love
That's
Hard.
That's next week.
Yeah.
Okay.
All
Jimmy
right.
Yang.
Jimmy
Yang. That name's familiar, and I don't know why.
Did you watch Silicon Valley?
No. Oh, you know what? I think I'm thinking of Bowen Yang, the guy on SNL.
You may be thinking of him, but if you watched Silicon Valley, this is the guy who played Jin Yang.
Yes.
Okay.
And on Silicon Valley, he was a turd.
He was a turd, but he was so fucking
He was really funny. Really funny.
That's a good, Jimmy Yang is really funny.
He was on something else I saw not too long ago, and I'm blanking now on what that is. And it could have been something I was watching after the fact.
Let's see what Jimmy Yang...
He's a stand-up comedian. Oh, okay.
He's in Space Force.
I've seen some of his little skits on TikTok. That's why the name is familiar.
I'm not sure what I was thinking of. Because he doesn't have so many credits that I wouldn't have...
Yep.
Maybe it was a movie? It was... I watched that Fantasy Island movie.
What?
Fantasy Island with...
Tony. Tony, no. What are you doing
here? He was Tattoo?
No. No.
He is Brax Weaver.
Okay, so this was
Tattoo Weaver.
No. So he, you got it. Just forget you saw that and then watch the movie.
Did you just spoil it for me later?
You did. You did actually spoil the last like 10 seconds of the movie. Like literally, I am not kidding.
I'm actually okay with that.
Michael Pena played Mr. Rourke. It was actually like it was actually a lot better than it had any right to be. By all rights, we turned it on. It's like, man, we're probably not gonna watch more than 15 minutes of this movie, and then finished it.
That's what I said about Barb and Star Go to Vista Del Mar. But I watched all of it.
I did not. I have not seen any of it.
The best part of that movie was Jamie Dornan, the guy who did the 50 Shades of Grey movies.
Never watched him.
Yeah, me neither.
He has
but
creepy eyes. Go on.
He was just an adorable idiot in that movie, Barb and Star. So it's a lame ass movie, but it's entertaining. It's fun. It's fluff. Sometimes you just need fluff in movies.
That's I don't. I never want fluff in movies. Fluff is a big waste of time.
Sometimes I need it. Just like sometimes I need to read a book that's just fluff.
I don't have time for fluff.
Where am I going? I have
you could be. You could be watching better things.
You could be watching Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
You could be reading The Expanse.
Oh, yeah.
It just finished, too.
That was good. That was really good.
And you know what? It was a 9-book series. I was concerned the ending would suck. And I was fine with the ending.
Okay.
I was really concerned that the ending would suck about after the first third of the last book. Because I was just like, I don't understand where this is going. I don't see ending. Like, I don't see them ending this single book, let alone the 9-book series and what's left of this book.
Yeah, I was like, am I getting Joe Abercrombie'd here? That fucking guy.
No, I felt like they stuck the landing, though. I felt very satisfying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It actually felt like an ending of a book they've done before. Like this feels like it ends the story, but it gives you the sense that the world is done. Yeah, well, that people are going to still go live their lives and do things. Like, it isn't this cataclysmic ending that it is now over. Everyone you loved is dead, and you're not allowed to care about the world anymore.
Mm-hmm. Mm. A lot of people died, Lena.
That's a shame.
Kind of like this movie.
A lot of people died in this movie.
A lot of people died in this movie. All right, so this week we're talking about The Harder They Fall by James Samuel. He co-wrote and directed it.
And did a bunch of music for it.
Mm-hmm. And did almost all of the music for it. He is a musician, composer.
Oh, his brother is Seal.
His brother is Seal?
Yes.
His brother is Seal.
I didn't know that.
Seal does at least one song on the soundtrack, because that soundtrack, so good. So good.
Yeah, he was a singer-songwriter for the band The Bullets, which I could not tell you any music they have done.
Me neither.
But, that's where he seems to have gotten his start, was in music, and then expanded out to making movies, making music videos, things like that.
I feel like it was a good career track.
Yes.
Yeah, this is the second movie he's made. And the first one is 50 minutes long. It's called They Die by Dawn. Mm-hmm. And it features the same characters that are in this movie, but with a completely different cast. Like, this was clearly somebody's passion project, because it also was a movie that only came in at 50 minutes long. Mm-hmm. But like the people that are in it,
this is a weird cast for this original one.
It is
Giancarlo Esposito, uh-huh. Michael Kenneth Williams,
Jesse Williams from Grey's Anatomy, Erica Badu.
Oh Oh my gosh.
Rosario Dawson.
What's the name of the movie again?
They Die by Dawn. And it is only available for streaming in questionable ways. And the questionable way that I watched it was on YouTube.
Is it like seven parts? One of those?
No. It is one 49-minute long YouTube video.
Okay.
And it's also a Western. You can tell it's done much more on the cheap. Like, the stylistically, they just didn't do the same. Like, they didn't have access to decent lighting and any kind of effects. Like, it's a Western. There's shootouts. You don't see the arterial sprays of blood that this one had, because this one was, like, first 20 minutes into it, it's like, oh, this is like a Tarantino Western. It's just kind of the whole vibe, yeah, I got from it.
It was.
Yeah.
Now.
But let's talk about this movie.
Wait. I just want to touch on one thing. What the hell is his name? Michael K. Williams.
Yes.
Was on
The Wire.
Lovecraft County.
Yes.
Country. Now, in Country, thank you. In this movie, he played Nate Love.
You're thinking Jonathan Majors.
Jonathan Majors in the other movie. They were both on Lovecraft Country. Did they play father and son on Lovecraft? The two men who play the same role?
I only watched two episodes of Lovecraft Country.
I watched trailers for Lovecraft Country.
Okay. I got it.
So I cannot tell you.
I will. I just have to look it up. Well, let's talk while I look this up.
All right. So,
I thought the movie was very good. That's my high level review.
Yeah.
I thought it was excellent.
Lena?
Very good. I didn't really, I mean, you know, Idris Elba. Yay. But cowboys. Oh, but sometimes I forget that I don't like shoot 'em up movies, but I love a good Western, as odd as that sounds. Excellent movie. Really, really good.
Yeah, I really liked it.
All right, review's over.
I liked it. I liked it so much that I looked up the writer-director, because I wanted to see if he'd done anything else, because he bought me going back and looking through his catalog with this movie. And I found it, and it was They Die by Dawn, which is available on YouTube, of all places. And it is a well-written movie, well-directed, for the kind of a weird cast and budget. Yeah, big time with the budget. It was worth the watch. I mean, it was time well spent. The price was right, but it was time well spent. I mean, because you can get away with watching a lot of garbage in 45, 50 minutes on YouTube if you give yourself half a chance.
And I do. I do a lot. Yeah. I do want to talk about Idris Elba, though. Do you think it's you know what? It's very frustrating for me that he is a better gunslinger in this movie than he was in the Gunslinger movie.
I did not see the Gunslinger movie.
Did not see it. It is bad.
I feel like maybe I did. I actually don't remember.
The Dark Tower?
It is bad.
Yeah. I don't know if I saw it.
Did not see it.
Just to quickly go back, Michael K. Williams played James Morgan's father in Lovecraft Country. That's the only little... And they both played... I keep wanting to call him Nate Dogg. Nate Love.
Nate Love.
Nate Dogg.
That's it. I had to confirm.
So we have a comment from Twitch. Whenever Idris Elba's name comes up, people praise his acting until he's rumored to play the new James Bond. Then it's all hate.
It's racist.
I would not hate that idea. Not at all.
I think he could be a fine James Bond.
Absolutely.
It would be weird after Luther, but
why would it be weird after Luther?
Different enough. I don't know.
It feels like
it feels. I don't know. I wonder on the take that they're going to do with the next James Bond. Are they going to do the same, going back to the books? He's a brute force spy, and as opposed to the suave second and third, third and fourth James Bonds we had in the movies.
It does feel like Idris can do either, though.
Oh yeah, I'm if he does more the thug take on it, like the more the Daniel Craig version, I would be less interested in seeing him and do that. I would want to see him play the more smart, suave James Bond, just because it would be a difference from Luther.
Yeah.
I would watch it either way, but if it's by my choice, I would be more interested in watching the suave, smooth Idris than as Bond than the brute force.
Still haven't seen Luther.
Missing out. That's something else you could be watching.
That's something else you could be watching. And there's a new season on its way.
Oh, I didn't know it was still an active show. Okay.
Well, it's active in a weird way. Like,
yeah,
they had like the first four seasons were over like 6 years.
Oh.
And it's a British show. Yeah, it's a British show. So they're like, there are seasons that are 3 episodes long.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So it's not a ton of content, but the content there is quality. Fantastic.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It is on my list of 8,000 things I want to watch. I'll have to bump it up the list.
Well, that, and you don't have to commit weeks in front of a screen to watch it. Like,
okay.
I mean, you could spread it out and give yourself a really fun week watching what's there.
Or a fun day.
Yeah. Well, a fun day. Yeah. You could probably cram it all into a day, but I think if you want to savor it a little more, you could easily spread it out to a week or two.
Oh, not 2 weeks. That would drive me nuts.
Savorings for suckers.
Yeah, I'm going to kind of agree with you, David.
There are some shows that absolutely need it, though.
I think there are some shows that are enhanced by a forced delay.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the cultural additive that adds is weaker, indicates weaker storytelling.
Okay, that is one point. However, I'm more talking about there are shows that I can't physically or emotionally power through watching all of it at once like that.
Yeah, I guess I couldn't do The Leftovers like that.
The Leftovers, there was, I can't remember, I'm blanking on the name of it. It was on HBO not too long ago. Mark Ruffalo played brothers.
Oh,
I'm blanking on the name, but that show was exactly like that. Julie and I watched the first 2 episodes. We had, the kids were away for a week or something, so we were like, oh, we're going to spread this out and watch it. Or, you know, we'll watch all of this in the next day or so and then pick something else. And it's like we had to spread that out over many days just because it took an emotional toll. It was.
Okay.
It was a good show. I know
this much is true.
That's it. I know this much is true. It was really good.
Okay.
But yeah, that one, I just needed a break.
There. I understand that. I do.
I don't like Mark Ruffalo's face, so I did not watch that.
Ah, you missed out because he had 2 different faces.
Did either of them come off?
I'm sure that probably happened, you know, when the shooting day was done. But
All right. Sorry. Face Off always gets me a little flustered. Don't know how to handle myself, you know. That kind of cinematic power.
Getting back to the movie, I liked Regina King's character, but it's gone on for like 20 years or so. This will happen forever. I see her, and all I think about is her on 227. And it's like I can't get child, like 14-year-old Regina King out of my head. And I don't know why. She was good.
I don't even. Oh my god!
Never She's watched
so
that.
Young.
So I have. Yeah. I don't have that issue.
I 1985 never saw that press photo.
And also Damon Wayans, because it's again. I look at the Wayanses as a comedy family, so it actually. I knew he was in the movie, but I just totally blanked. I kept looking at this guy and I was like, I feel like I know him and I don't know why. And, you know, it was good. But and then I always end up surprised like, oh, funny man can act. Okay.
It doesn't shock me when comedians can act, because that's when they tend to do their best stuff.
Yeah.
That's not Damon Wayans, by the way.
Marlon?
No, that's Damon Wayans Jr.
Oh!
Yeah. Yeah.
How fucking old am I?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
To be fair, he looks just like his goddamn dad.
That hurts.
Like, he almost does. Indistinguishable.
He does. He looks clonish.
I'm just gonna go die now.
Damn. He does look remarkably like his father. Yeah. He really does. Yeah. Tangent on Damon Wayans. So the last couple of years, they've been doing this thing where they trout out Norman Lear and do a couple of his old TV shows and do them live.
I heard about this.
And they did it last night. And they did The Facts of Life with adults as the girls and Different Strokes with adults as the boys. And the boys were Kevin Hart was Arnold and Damon Wayans was Willis. It was hilarious. And
I kind of wish I'd seen it, but I kind of don't.
Height-wise, no. It was really good. It was worth watching for Kevin Hart as Arnold. Like, he didn't break character at all. Because they did this live. He didn't break character at all. There was a couple of ad-libs that weren't in the script, which were really good. But, like, at one point, John Lithgow plays Mr. Drummond. Like, he is supposed to pick Arnold up and carry him out of the room. And John Lithgow reaches around. Kevin Hart picks him up and walks him across the set. And like two scenes later, Jesus. Arnold is literally sitting in his lap.
Oh, God.
Oh, it was hilarious.
I wonder if I can find this streaming somewhere.
You
afterwards.
Should be, because it was just on
NBC.
It was NBC or ABC. I don't remember which, but either one, they're going to be on Hulu. So you should be able to watch it on Hulu.
Good.
But him and Ann Dowd, who was on The Leftovers.
I know that name.
Yeah, she was also in Handmaid's Tale. Mm-hmm. Was she the wife? Martha's.
No, she's one of the Marthas.
She's got a really severe face. She was also in Mr. Robot.
She's in a lot of things.
Yeah. She played Mrs. Garrett and was perfect. Oh, and God. Because Mrs. Garrett was in both shows, she played it in both shows.
Oh, so
that
cool.
Was kind of cool. That was really neat. But yeah, Damon Wayans as Willis was pretty funny too. Though it was wild because Todd Bridges came out and kind of introduced it, and then he starts reading. Then he's like, "If so and so and like every other member of the cast is dead, they're all gone." He's like, "If they could have been here, they'd want to introduce this." And like you could see his like he never cracked. He did not break, but his eyes got really red as he was saying that, but he did not, his voice, I mean, he wavered just a little bit, but yeah, he just plowed right through that. That was like, it hit me because it was like, holy shit. Yeah. They are all dead.
Yeah.
That's what happens to people. They expire much like many characters in this film.
Yeah. Most of the characters in this
back,
film,
baby.
Yep.
So there's a lot of goddamn talent in this movie. Regina King, Jonathan Majors, many
Delroy
others.
Delroy Lindo.
I said Deon many Cole. Others.
Yeah.
Keith Stanfield. We're just going to do this whole naming thing because I got IMDb paid pulled up right
Zazzy
here.
Zazzy Beetz.
The trivia about Zazzy Beetz is that she speaks fluent German and then did her own dubbing for the German translation of the movie.
She was born in Germany and her father is German.
And her name is Zazzy Beetz.
Yeah.
Which I find to be quite jaunty.
I liked, Cuffy. I liked Cuffy? Cuffy.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I don't remember who played.
Danielle Deadweiler.
I like that character too. Why do we have nothing to say?
I don't know. I have very little to criticize about the movie.
Like, so there's nothing to talk about.
It's well, this definitely, for me, breaks the two-thirds rule for Netflix movies.
It breaks the two-thirds rule for Netflix.
What is the two-thirds rule?
That Netflix movies are like two-thirds of a good movie.
Oh, okay.
And like, I felt this one through and through was a good movie.
Yeah, yeah. The acting was solid. The plot was good.
Yeah.
Like, it was a little... I can't really fault the plot for being what the plot was. Like, there wasn't any points where I'm like, well, this is stupid. Why are we doing this?
No, I dug it, and I liked the reveal, so to speak, at the end.
Yeah.
The reveal was fine.
Yes.
Because I had mostly forgotten how the movie began by that point, because this movie is 2.5 hours long.
It is a long movie.
It didn't feel like a long movie to me.
It did. Well, I thought... It felt like a long movie to me because I thought the movie was over when they went to the town. And then
there was another like, half hour of movie.
Oh, I'm sorry. Princess is in another castle.
The princess is in the castle on the other side of town.
Yeah. The princess is in a bank in another town.
Yeah.
So then there was an additional half hour of the movie that I was not expecting.
I even liked the girl fight, quote unquote.
The girl fight. Jesus, Lane, it's 2021.
The lady fight.
You mean when Regina King and Zazie Beetz were beating the shit out of each other?
That was awesome.
The most physical confrontation of the entire movie.
Yeah. Just beating the shit out of each other.
Yeah.
So good. So good.
Yeah, no, all of the fight choreography was really goddamn good. The effects were good. Like the shootouts felt good.
They were fun. Like, I at no point did the action bore me, mm-hmm. which sometimes I get to the point, and like Avengers Endgame hit that point for me that it's just like, okay,
yeah,
we know so we want to pull in so many more characters into this, but I was bored with this fight 3 minutes ago. And you're mm-hmm. still introducing characters into the fight. Uh-huh. Oh, like, I never got that feeling with this.
We get it. Everybody's back. Yeah.
And there were times where this movie felt like it had almost as many characters.
Oh my God. There were so many fucking people.
Like, that final shootout when everyone is dying, but it's like...
I don't know who's on what side. Because just too many.
Well, I'm just saying that all the people looked the same, Elena?
No. But no.
That's what I heard.
But I will tell you, even if they were white, I'd have the same issue. They were all rugged, most of them had facial hair, and they were all fucking wearing hats. So if this is all I see, and everybody looks the same when that's all I see.
Are you saying all you can see are eyes?
Yes.
That's worse.
And also, a couple of them were... On both sides. So, shut up.
Stop. On both sides.
Huge gay cast. Huge. But no horses were shot, that I recall.
Yeah.
The first thing that happens. Yeah. The first gunfight. Second person who shoots a horse.
Doesn't he shoot that. His own horse?
He shoots his own horse.
He shot his own horse and then laid behind it because that was his...
cover.
It's cover.
Which is like some very. I missed that. Because then I started thinking about it and I was like, is that what you would do? Because, like, presumably you want to think about surviving the gunfight, right? And now you don't have a horse. But also, the horse is going to panic in the middle of the gunfight, and that definitely prevents the horse from trampling you.
Right.
And then also gives you cover. So. I had analyzed this, and then the gunfight was over, and I was like, well, I hope this gunfight didn't mean anything.
I did the same thing, too. Like, I was still paying attention to the gunfight.
I don't know what I was doing, but I missed that part.
But yeah, when I saw that, it was like, I think I just watched him shoot his own horse and then lay down behind it, which, man, that maybe that is the thing you would do.
Yeah,
like, I've never been in that situation.
And I don't know what to consult. As like what I would accept as the authority on shooting my own horse in a gunfight.
I think I'm okay that I missed it.
Well, we have talked about it a lot now. It was very quick. It took a lot less time on screen than we have described.
Mm-hmm. I thought the dialogue was excellent.
Mm-hmm. I did too.
So when I watch these cowboy era movies, it always goes in like one of two ways. Like, they don't try and make it period accurate and it's terrible, or they try and make it period accurate and it's terrible. So I'm happy that they just went the direction they went.
Yeah.
And did not do that.
But also still gave people their own voices.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the way certain people spoke, it was mm-hmm. distinct
yeah.
by character, which I really liked. Mm-hmm. Like, because the cast was so big, any little thing helped differentiate, and not differentiate, but to remind you of which character that was, because there were so many characters.
Mm-hmm. And because Lena is racist and could not tell them apart. Yeah, particularly Lakeith Stanfield had a very distinct cadence to his dialogue yep. that was very easy to parse, mm-hmm. sight unseen.
It was very different than the way a lot of other characters were speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What I also thought was interesting, at the very beginning it said that, however it was phrased, these events are this is a work of fiction, but all the characters are real, which made me look them up. I looked up, I just looked up Nate they and existed. Rufus. Yes. And Nate was not a criminal. Rufus was. Was? Yeah, that's all I got. I kind of wanted to look most of the rest of them up, because I thought that was a really interesting little tidbit.
Well, I'm much like the rest of white America, I am on this journey of only learning black history through popular media, in which I learned that the original cowboys were black.
I think, what is it, one thing. In four, they said?
Well, I mean, the term cowboy was used boy as an insult, which is why it was cowboy. Like, you know.
It wasn't universally used that way. There were certain areas that it was very prevalently used, that a white cowhand would not have been called a cowboy. It's only the black cowhands that they would refer to as cowboy.
I did not know that.
And then later it kind of became universally accepted that that was just the blanket term for people who did that sort of job, and it was universal. It did get to the yeah. point of being universal, but did not start that way.
It's weird how something that had roots in racism just became so ubiquitous that we don't think about its roots in racism anymore. That's not like the rest of this country.
Yeah.
Like all of the rest of this country combined. So what interested me about this movie, I don't particularly give a shit about Westerns. That's like just not my genre. Like, the whole showdown at high noon thing is just like deeply uninteresting to me, because I just don't give a shit about handgun fights. So I was like trying to pick apart what set this apart from other Westerns that I've seen. And like, there is a brand of style associated with this cinematographically that I just could not put my finger on to describe. But like, the scenes were shot fucking cool, and I don't know how to say it otherwise. Like, the train scene, the way that they've got the camera angles working, and just like the way that they interact with the people on each of the cars is like just really fucking slick. Like, there's not a lot of time wasted, and I mean, obviously Lakeith Stanfield carries a lot of that, just because that dude's a pleasure to watch on screen. But like, it was fucking good, and there's nothing solid for me to describe what exactly about it was just fucking cool. On the C.A. Bozeman cars on the train.
Yeah, I don't know, it felt very much like a, like you see some of those quick shots and the way they moved quickly within the focus. It kind of had that 70s kung fu movie feel to it at times.
Yeah, like when Idris is walking out of his fucking cage.
Yeah.
And then when he's walking out of the boxcar and they're just killing everybody else in the room around
okay,
him.
Okay, that's all right.
Like, that shit was cool.
I was thinking you meant something else. It was cool. I was thinking, cool. Like, when you talked about, you know, like the 70s kung fu, for me, that's a lot of, like, herky-jerky movements, which I don't like. So I thought, well, there was nothing. I didn't find any scenes herky-jerky, so I was a little confused. You're both frozen.
Are we?
Nope, there you are. Okay.
Let it go. Let it go.
Oh, sweet Jesus, no. No, no, no.
I'm feeling real low energy tonight, kids.
Yeah. I guess I'm not compelled to talk about it. I mean, it's fairly standard as Westerns go.
Yeah, it wasn't breaking new Western ground. No. Other than there were Black people in it.
Yeah.
Which feels like it does actually break Western ground.
I mean, there have been other movies that have done that, you know, do a predominantly Black cast before in Westerns. It is not the norm.
Yeah.
Or it's the there are few and far between Black cowboy characters in cowboy movies in Westerns.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But then you had that was the name of that movie that was Clint Eastwood's big cowboy movie in the 90s. Unforgiven. Oh. That's the name of the movie.
Is that Charlize Theron?
No.
I mean, they are all exactly the same to me. I've never watched two Westerns and been like, these are two different movies.
Oh, that one was different.
I like Westerns, but I like Western books. Like, I've always been a huge fan of Louis L'Amour books. And other
I
Westerns.
Can honestly say I've never read a Western book.
I like them.
They don't sound interesting to me.
I like, it gives me really great imagery, and I love that. And that was something I loved about the movie. I love the scenes. I love the setup. I love how that all looks.
Yeah, how it's all described?
No, how it all looks. Physically, I can see it. But in the books, it's a description that I can pull up in my mind.
All right.
But yeah, I just thought the movie. It's really good.
The movie is worth watching. I feel like talking about it too much would just spoil it if you haven't seen it.
Yeah.
And if you have seen it, unless you've got an opinion that some part of it was subpar, there's not really much else to share with you because it was a good goddamn movie.
Yeah.
There wasn't anything I didn't like.
Yeah, it was well written. It was well shot. If you even remotely like cowboy movies, you should probably watch this unless you're squeamish because this did have a lot more blood than your typical, you know, 60s singing cowboy type movie. It's a lot more bloody. And I mean, I don't think that's bad. I think it's probably far more realistic. But if you're squeamish at all, this movie might not be for you.
I do have a question for both
probably
of you.
Have an answer. Ooh, I probably got an answer. Ooh.
What
go.
Was your reaction when Nate and Cuffy went into the bank to rob it?
I had no reaction.
It was weird and uncomfortable that the two Black people were going into the very white bank.
Yeah, it was. What? It was weird. It was, my reaction was, holy shit, what did they do? Because in my mind, I think of, like, I expected it to be full of white people. I didn't expect every inch of it to be white. I think of Little House on the Prairie sets, and I expected actual wood.
You mean the entire financial institution was made white?
Oh, Lord.
It was good.
Actually, that was one of the scenes I had the biggest problem with, and the biggest problem I had was they weren't immediately thrown out.
Yeah.
That just feels like there was the altercation with them only began after they started robbing the place, and I feel like, as presented, there would have been an altercation much sooner in the experience.
They did just kind of march in. Mm-hmm. They didn't stop to let anybody judge them. And I think the initial reaction of what are they doing in here dressed like that was more was a true reaction of I don't think they were used to, one, seeing a Black person in their space, and when that black person was in their space, they weren't serving them in some way. Yeah. They marched in as equals. And that was what was, I think that was the shock factor for them. They never expected to see something so brazen.
Brazen. Oh, I like that. I like that.
Brazen. Bold.
Bold.
Uncompromising. Tony has words.
Yeah, this sounds like an Arby's commercial now.
Yeah.
The bold, uncompromising meats. Flavor. You got to get, what's his face? God damn it. Sam Elliott. Bold, uncompromising flavor.
I'd buy whatever he sells.
It's that mustache.
Yeah. I love that mustache. Holy shit. He's like the only human who could pull that off.
You the know that only. Thing smells like an old shoe.
I would, well, if by that you mean leather, then yeah, that's, I'm dead.
I do I'm not.
Totally cool. I do.
Do not
I
mean
choose,
that.
I love, he is, dude is sexy. And don't even fight me.
I have no reason to.
I'm not alone in my thoughts here.
No one's telling you you're wrong.
I'm not wrong. That's all I have to say.
I look forward to seeing whatever. I think it's James. I'm just gonna go with James until I'm told otherwise. His name is spelled differently than I'm used to. It's J E Y M E S. Yeah. Samuel, the guy who wrote and directed it. Mm-hmm. I'm down for whatever James Samuel does next.
Yeah, that was solid.
Especially if he can bring this kind of talent on the screen, because, man, I'd love to see how this was all put together, because this was a really, really huge amount of talent.
You can pronounce his name The Bullets.
That's his name?
The Bullets, born James Samuel.
Oh, okay. I would not have guessed that, considering everything about this movie.
Everything has
James Samuel.
Yep. R.J. Seiler. That is an interesting... In his Wikipedia page, in 2021, he directed and co-wrote The Harder They Fall, a revisionist Western starring Jonathan Majors, Zazie Beetz, and R.J. Seiler. Out of all of the cast...
Wow.
R.J. Seiler.
Who is that?
James Beckworth.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
The kid who tried to outdraw Eric Bill.
Looking at pictures of him, I do
really
see
good.
A similarity to Steven.
He was a Power Ranger?
Oh, R.J. Seiler.
Yeah.
In 2017, he was Blue Ranger, Billy Cranston, autistic Blue Ranger.
Oh. Sure.
His,
He apparently was nominated for a Teen Choice Award in 2017 in the category Choice Scene Stealer.
Jesus.
As a Power Ranger?
Yeah.
He was also Benvolio in a Romeo and Juliet adaptation. R pound J. R hashtag J.
Well, I mean, every generation has its Romeo and Juliet revisionist.
It's an American experimental romantic drama film. Jesus. Stars David Zayas. Oh, God, I hate that guy.
Who is that?
Oh, he's this Hispanic actor, and he's got this... The way he pronounces his R's is just upsetting to me. There's no R to it. It's like, it comes off between the middle point between an R and a Y. Maria. It's like, oh, don't do that. Just hate it. I don't like his face. That's
all
what
right.
I got.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
Great cast. Well written.
Yep.
Well
next
scored.
Week, I'll be much angrier about this dumb movie we're talking about.
Well shot.
I've got zero bad to say about it.
If I have to criticize it, if I'm absolutely forced to criticize it, I wish they would have found a reason to just let Idris Elba use his own voice instead of that growl that he did. Because I'll be honest, there were times, and I don't know if it was just him or the way they mic'd him, but I could almost never hear him. And yeah. What I could, it was hard to understand. I had to I honestly had to turn in the subtitles for that last speech, just because like he was just hard to, like, I don't know, his levels were, something was off there, and my ears just weren't picking it up.
I did like, read a fascinating article sometime this week about how movies in the last 10 to 15 years have become unlistenable. Like, you just can't hear people giving dialogue in movies anymore. And it's not like you're not getting older and there's nothing wrong with your hearing. It's like the way that the sound masters are doing things that just make it impossible to hear what people are saying.
Yeah, there are times where we're watching a movie at home, especially an action movie, and you like we have to watch it with our thumb on the remote. Just, oh, it's an action scene, turn the volume down.
Yep.
Oh, this isn't an action scene, turn the volume up so we can hear what everybody's saying.
Yep.
You just have to kind of...
I hate that. I hate that that's a thing now.
Yeah, I just leave the subtitles on.
Yeah. I think it goes to the experience of watching a movie in the theater, though, because we're like, I find that I'm more accepting of it being loud when I'm in that space.
Yep.
But when I'm at home and I'm not surrounded by a wall of speakers, that I can hear that talking. And then when the action really amps up, I'm like, I'm in it instead of just being screeched at by my speakers.
Yeah.
Screeched at. Fucking hawk. Caw, Tony,
damn it, where's Francis?
Oh, I'm sorry. Were you sleeping? Oh, that's weird. At 5 a.m., I'll remind you of this. Fucking turd.
Yeah, so that would be my only complaint.
It was one of the rare occasions I did not have a problem hearing things.
Also, Idris Elba doesn't do a whole lot in the movie.
No, he doesn't.
No.
Mostly everybody else does stuff around him, and he looks disapprovingly.
Yeah, I felt like the movie did, like, I will dig a little bit in, that I think the writing, there were times in the middle of the movie where I had problems with something that was going on, but by the end, with the resolution that they are brothers, like, it erases some of those problems that I had early on. Like, when he had him captive,
yeah, why didn't you just kill him?
Why didn't you just kill him? Mm-hmm. Like, I can understand humiliating him the way you did for a point, but, like, it didn't feel, like, it felt like he could have just killed his problem away at any point.
Yeah.
And it would have been a better solution until you find out what's really going on. Then it's like, all right, okay. Yeah. If I'm buying into that those two are brothers, then those things I had problems with earlier make complete sense.
Yeah. Setting him up to be a bigger bastard than his dad as a revenge thing. Yeah, I'm on board with that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's actually pretty interesting.
Yeah. Go steal me the rest of this money I need. Actually really does work out. Like, ooh, two birds, one stone. All right. Yeah.
Yeah, his motivations...
shockingly consistent.
Even at the beginning are like, okay, this makes a whole lot of sense now. Why exactly this happened? Like, yeah. I even went back and watched that opening scene again because, like, I wanted to remember, like, I started trying to remember the scene just because I wanted to remember if there was reasons laid out when they were talking. When he showed up and he's like, no, we don't have to do this. Like, they never talk about what's going on.
Right.
You know, but you don't, it's not forced, so you don't really miss it. Like, it's some unspoken bad thing that happened in the past. Like, my first thought was, oh, he turned him in. You know, one guy turned the other guy in. He's the one that went to jail, and he's living a good life. Like, I don't know where I wrote that.
I wrote too.
But that's the story that I wrote for why Idris Elba went in and killed that dude and his
wife. My thought was that he was part of his gang, and then kind of left and decided to be clean and yep. No, I'm not going to let you do that. That was my thought.
Well, I thought that, but that was like when he went and turned him in. That's when he went and turned in Idris Elba and then went and lived the good life, figuring he'd be in jail forever or just die in jail.
Yeah. Good movie.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Next time I talk to my dad, I'm going to recommend it to him because I think this movie's right up his alley.
Cool.
And if you like this, They Die by Dawn is worth it. It's an hour. It's not even an hour. It's worth the time. Don't expect the same production value.
I'm going to watch it tomorrow. Never do. Yeah.
I would like to take the last 5 minutes here to discuss how Lost in Space is a baffling show to me.
I have not watched the last season yet.
I couldn't get through 2 episodes when it came back.
Literally everyone makes decisions that are the worst of an array of choices? They're the worst choice. They've made the choice. And then I think what the writers are doing, they're like, okay, well, let's just get past the decision-making to put them into a situation where cool stuff can happen. But cool stuff never happens. And the decisions are all dumb and uninteresting. It's baffling to me how this made it past an editor.
Why do you keep watching it?
It's the last season.
Why do I do anything?
I ask myself that often.
Did you watch any of the third season? How far did you watch, Lena?
2 episodes.
Oh.
Well, you got the entire thing right there.
That's it. When it first came out, I watched 2 episodes and I'm like, no, just
there's a character that is universally reviled, and for 3 seasons they have done nothing to fix that.
Oh, you mean she's not dead?
No.
Yeah,
no.
I didn't figure that.
In Umbrella Academy, Elliot Page's character in the first season is unbearably terrible.
Yes.
And so in the second season, they just fix the character. And it's great.
I actually haven't seen the second season yet. But yes,
they still haven't fixed the actor, though.
They have not fixed the actor. But with the other actors in the scenes with them... It is less of a problem.
Yeah, because they distract you away from him.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Anyway, so I'll finish that tonight, Lena.
Good. Good. Excited for you.
It's very bad.
Well, that's a shame. I like the first 2 seasons.
Wait, of Lost in Space?
Yeah.
I may give it another look, but...
You know.
It's like,
I liked it. I didn't do that.
Yeah, they do that.
It's not for everybody, but I enjoy it.
If you're looking for stuff to watch, I can recommend you many other things. Have you watched Future Man?
No. Where's
you
that?
You should watch Future Man. It's on Hulu if you've got Hulu.
I do.
And Devs.
And Devs. Devs is also good. Future Man is very funny.
Devs is not funny. No. Future Man, very funny. Devs, not funny, but very good.
Yeah.
Anything else? Because I'm writing all this shit down.
Have you watched Solar? Have you watched Rick and Morty?
No.
What is that?
I have not either.
Like, no, I know. I feel like I should have, but no, I haven't.
Rick and Morty is really good, but I was going to recommend Solar Opposites. I think it's Justin Roiland, which is like one half of the Rick and Morty team.
Oh.
Have you watched You're the Worst?
No.
That's another
You
Hulu.
Are the Worst.
Yep.
I am, yeah.
Yeah, it's good. You're the Worst is very good.
Have you watched Crazy Ex-Girlfriend?
I feel like I started it. No, I didn't. A
lot of musicals.
Crazy Ex-Girlfriend's really good.
I'm writing all this shit down.
I think I'm out of things I've got off the top of my head.
That's cool. I got plenty here.
Party Down?
No. I don't even
Party Down is back. Good.
Party Down is good.
I don't know anything about that.
It's got a few people you might recognize in that one.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotta look it up now.
I am out of things to recommend.
That's plenty.
Just off the top of my head.
American sitcom.
Ghosted?
Oh, I don't the have stars.
The new show with Adam Scott and, fuck.
I don't have stars, so.
What the fuck is this guy's name?
No.
Oh, if you had stars, I would have recommended Heels. That was really good.
Craig Robinson. Adam Scott, Craig Robinson, Ghosted. Guess I'll have to watch this.
That's
I would watch those two.
Is that a couple of years ago?
Was it? Well, it's new on Hulu. 2017, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure as shit.
We watched that. I watched that with Julie and the kids.
Was it not good?
It was...
It does look bad.
Yeah. It was good enough.
That's what I want from my media. And, just good enough.
And it's only 16 episodes. Watch the first couple if you don't get into it. Don't.
Ooh, Atlanta's on Hulu now.
What is?
Atlanta. Never mind. I know what I'm watching now.
Yeah, looking forward to Childish Gambino. Couple of seasons when they eventually come out.
My post-it note is filled.
All right, that's what I got.
Yep.
All right, let's be done. Next week, what is it?
Love Hard.
Love Hard?
Fuck.
A Christmas classic.
I like how it looked like you just threw up in your mouth just now.
Well, I am very hungry.
All right, I'm ending the broadcast.
Wait a minute, hold on. Oh, yeah.
What?
No, we're good. We're good.